In John chapter 21, we see this exchange take place between Jesus and Simon Peter. And it's one of those things that we probably talk about often. This interesting exchange where Jesus three times asks Simon to confirm that he loves him. Imagine yourself having to confirm three times to somebody who should already know that you love them, but having to confirm that to them, but yet have to do it three times. Imagine an exchange between a husband and wife. Honey, do you love me? Well, of course I do. Really? Right? That's sometimes the question we have. Well, really? Well, of course I do. Now, do you really, truly love me? We probably would get as frustrated as Peter got here and say, hey, listen, I've already told you twice. You know that I do. And hopefully we do show our spouse that we do love them. And so they should already know anyway. And now they've asked us three times to confirm it. And so we become frustrated. But again, remember that Peter has really just denied the Lord three times, and now he's getting the opportunity to confirm his love for him three times. Appreciate the songs that Hayden led for us tonight, because they will go hand in hand with what we're talking about, because it really is, the lesson tonight is really about examining our own love for Jesus. Let's examine the text in a little bit more detail. Now, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31, he tells the disciples that all of them will be offended by him or because of him this night. And then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. And so again, as we're looking at Jesus, we're looking at his teaching, we're remembering all of the things that he said. How many times has Jesus said something and it not come true? Never. Right? And so every time Jesus has said something, every time he's prophesied about something or told them that something was going to happen, that particular thing happened. And so he's telling them, you're all going to be offended by me or because of me this night. And instead of saying, how do we avoid this? You know, is this something that has to happen, or is this something that we can avoid? Is there something that we can change about this? We see that Peter promises him in verses 33 through 35 that he would never do that. Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Sometimes we struggle with this with the kids, right? One kid is getting in trouble and the other kid will come up and say, well, I didn't do that. Right? We want to make sure that you know, you're confirmed that this one is in trouble and this one is, well, I ate all of my dinner, right? Or I put my dishes in the dishwasher. You know, that happens quite often where we'll be trying to correct one kid and say, no, we told you to put your dishes in the dishwasher. And another kid will come up and say, I put my dishes in the dishwasher. Right? And it just trying to get them in more trouble. Well, Peter here is saying, even if all of these other people do it, I would never do that. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same thing also. So all of them now start saying, whoa, if, you know, Peter's the one speaking up, but then they all start saying, well, neither would I. I would never do that either. I will not be ashamed because of you. And then we see the moment that Peter fails in starting in verse 69 of Matthew chapter 26. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were with him, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. This is probably the low point in Peter's life. And so after the resurrection, he's really getting a chance to redeem himself here, right? At least I feel like that's the way he should feel. He's denied Jesus three times. He's now being allowed the opportunity to confirm his love for him three times. Understand that in this text, Jesus uses two different Greek words. And again, sometimes when you're crossing over languages, sometimes English, because it's a very young language and it doesn't always make a lot of sense to other people, it's sometimes difficult to see. We use one word, love, and the Bible uses three different words, at least, for love. But Jesus uses two here. The first two that he asks, when he asks Peter, do you love me? He's using this word agapas, or agape, love. And so when he asks this twice, the first two times, the definition of agapas, or agape love, is a love that rises out of deep devotion. So when he says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? He's saying, do you agape me? It's really the deepest kind of love that we find in God's Word. It is a love that rises out of deep devotion, where you would never offend in any way somebody that you agape. The third time, Jesus uses phileo, love. Phileo is defined as to befriend, to like, and prompted by emotion. Now, this is sometimes where things can change, right? If you befriend somebody, if you like somebody, if you're this like or this love is prompted out of emotion, typically we call this, you know, phileo, Philadelphia, the brotherly love, city of brotherly love. That's where it all comes from. It's that kind of brotherly love that can change sometimes when that brother doesn't have the same ideas as you anymore. Right? That can kind of change. Not necessarily that you don't love them anymore, but that kind of love can kind of change over time. Whereas agape love really doesn't. It is a deep devotion. You are devoted to this thing. So Jesus asks twice, do you agapas or agape love me? And the last time he says, do you phileo? There's a reason for this. The first two times, Peter uses the word phileo in response. So Jesus asks, do you agape or agapas love me? And he says, you know that I phileo you. So he's using a different word. He's using the weaker of the two terms to say, yes, I love you. It still means love, but it's a much different kind of love. So twice Jesus asks, do you agape me? And Peter responds, I phileo you. And so, of course, the third time when Jesus says, do you phileo me? It's almost like he's saying, do you really even phileo love me? And of course, Peter then gets a little upset. Well, of course you know. I've used this word twice. Of course I do, and of course you know that I do. How does this relate to us? Well, I think oftentimes God is seeking for agape love, and he gets in return phileo love. When times get tough, sometimes that love that is supposed to be agape is really phileo. So when somebody offends us, we find out that our love toward God was actually phileo love and not the agape love that God was seeking for. It's important that we understand these two terms, that we have the idea that Peter is saying, I phileo you. It's almost like that's all that he could give him. Because he probably was so deeply hurt by himself for not agape loving Jesus that this was all he could muster. Jesus, you know I made a mistake. You know that I probably can't say that I agape love you because of the mistake that I made. I'm going to talk a little bit about that next week, about hypocrites, right? And is Peter a hypocrite here for doing this? We need to have love, a genuine agape love for Jesus. But what I want you to understand is that a genuine agape love is not simply a baptized person, right? That somebody can't say, well, of course I agape love you because I was baptized in the name of your Son for the remission of my sins. A person who agape loves God or Jesus Christ is not a person who worships out of habit, who says, you know what, I'm here Sunday morning, I'm here Sunday evening, I'm here Wednesday evening. Might that be part of it? Sure. But it's not defined as somebody who does that. Agape love is not somebody who reads their Bible every day. It's deeper than that. It's more than that. It's about somebody who gives themselves first to God. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We have a responsibility to seek first God. When he talks about giving of ourselves, or when we talk about giving of ourselves, somebody that agape loves God is going to be giving of themselves. In Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 36, he says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And so he's being asked this question, which of all of those commands that are given in the Old Testament, which one is the greatest? Now you might ask, what commands of the law is he talking about? Well, is he talking about the Ten Commandments? Well, they may be part of that. But if you look at the Levitical law and even in Deuteronomy when Moses recounts a lot of that, there are hundreds of rules and laws and regulations that the children of Israel had to follow. And so he's being asked a question of those hundreds and hundreds of laws and rules, even maybe of the ten. Which one do I really need to follow? So what was the answer? And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." If you can put God first and you can put others second, then everything else is going to fall into place because you can give yourself to God. Now, if we put God first and we put ourselves second above somebody else, then we really haven't put God first. Right? We may say that, we may think that, but we really haven't put God first. If we truly put God first, then we're going to be able to put God or others second, and that will push ourselves down to third. That's the kind of agape love that God is looking for. That kind of agape love will lead us to do all of the things that we've already talked about. To become a baptized believer. To be a person who worships, you know, any time that the doors are open. Because they want to, not because they feel that they have to. And you're going to read your Bible each and every day. If we have that kind of agape love for God and for Jesus Christ. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 24, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love." See, the love that Peter seemed to have for Jesus at this point in time was one that was corrupted because he was able to say, "I do not know the man." If that love wasn't corrupted at that point in time, he would have been able to say, "You know what? Hang me up there with him." Because that was his intention at the beginning, wasn't it? "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." But because he phileoed Jesus, those things seemed to change within Peter. And that love that he had to God, for God, was corrupted. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and our Father is this." It's not to be a baptized believer. It's not to come to worship services every time that the doors are open. He says to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Again, Is becoming a baptized believer part of that process? Absolutely. Is attending worship service a part of that? Absolutely. But he says not just about that. It's about giving yourself to others. So I want to spend the remaining time asking a question, or some questions. And that is, or addressing maybe this statement. If we agapos, or agape, love him, there's certain things that we're going to do. And if we're not doing those things, we may not agape love God the way that we should. And again, we might be able to say that we love God in the same way that Peter did. Well, I phileo God. But that's not the kind of devotion that God is looking for. God is looking for agape love. This love that comes out of a deep devotion for him. If we agape love God, then we are going to be obedient to everything that he asks us to do. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, we read this quite often, but there are actually several verses of scripture within this context that really say about the same thing. John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we truly love God, if we truly agape love God, then we will keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. In verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. He says, again, if you keep the commandments that I've given you, then you're the one who loves me. And because of that, God is going to love you, and I will love you, and I will disclose myself to you. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. If we truly agape love God and we agape love his Son, Jesus Christ, then we are going to be obedient to him. If we phileo love him, we may not. We might. But phileo love changes with emotion sometimes. And so while we may at some points in our lives follow him, if we do not have the deep devotion that we need to have for God, then at some point, phileo love will fail. If we truly agape love God, we are going to want to be in his presence. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, Jesus expresses to his disciples, for where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. When God's saints, when Jesus' disciples are together, he says, I am in your midst. And when Jesus is there, when God is there, if we truly agape love them, then we're going to want to be in their presence. Just like our own family. If we truly agape love our family, we want to be around them. And we want to be around them a lot. You know, we may tease them, you know, sometimes. Or maybe sometimes we get frustrated with them. But we have a deep devotion to them, right? Don't we have a deep devotion for our children or to our children? Not that we obey them, but that we want them to grow up and do what they need to do. And so we'll protect them, even if it means, you know, keeping them apart from other people that may want to see them or like them. We said, no, that's not good for you. Or keep them away from a certain place that they may want to go. We said, no, that's not good for you. I'm protecting you. I need you to stay over here. If we truly agape love God, then we want to be around him and be in his presence. But phileo love may not. Circumstances may change. And say, you know what? I like you. I phileo love you. And I'll be back later. But see, my devotion is somewhere else right now. I know that your presence is here, but I want to be over here. That's what phileo love will do. If we truly agape love God, then we will sacrifice anything for his cause. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, Notice he says, for if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And so again, we say this all the time, that God is going to judge us by the things that we've been given. He's not going to say, you know, Tony, you didn't give me $1 million. Because I don't have $1 million to give. But what he is saying, if the readiness is present, then that $1 million becomes present. And I need that $1 million, I know that you'll give it. Because the readiness is there. And yes, I'm going to judge you according to what you have. But if the readiness is present, if the willingness is there, if that agape love is there, if that deep devotion is there, then you're going to be willing to give up anything for His cause. Much in the same way that Abraham was willing to even sacrifice his own son, because that's what God asked him to do. Thankfully, God's not going to ask us to do that. But He asked Abraham to do it, and He says, now that I know that you're willing to give up your son, then I know you'll do anything for me. And that's what God wants from us. If we truly agape love Him, nothing is going to stand in our way. If God needs you somewhere else, if God, you know, wants you to do certain things, then we're going to do it because the readiness, the willingness is there. But phileo love might not. It might under certain circumstances. And that's why we have to be careful, because it can become confusing, because we may never have this opportunity to give something up. We may never have to give it up. And so we have to be truly careful about whether we phileo love God or we agape love God. Because it can be tricky. If we truly agape love God and His Son Jesus Christ, then we will agape love His disciples. So many times, I think we want to agape love God, but phileo love His disciples. And we don't get to pick in that way. In 1 John 5, in the first two verses, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. You know, we hear all the time, well, I love God, but I can't stand Christians. And God Himself says it doesn't work that way. You can't say that you love me, but yet say that you hate all of my children. That's not going to work. Think about in your own life. I think about even my own father. Now, you can go to my dad and you can say, hey, I'm a friend of Tony's. And guess what? He will welcome you with open arms. And if you need anything, He'll give it to you. He'll do it for you. Because I've watched Him do things for my friends. And a lot of times I'm not even there. I'll get a call from one of my friends, say, hey, I was with your dad. He helped me fix this or do that. Dad's pretty handy. Yeah, he helped me fix this. I'm not even there. But it's because they're my friends. They've become His friends. Now, if you go to him and you say, Scott, I really like you, but I can't stand your son. Will you help me with something? And see what kind of reaction you get. Now, my dad will tease me, you know, just as much as I tease someone else, probably where I get it from. He's very quick-witted. If he says something, it's usually funny, right? But if you say that to him, he's probably not going to help you. I'm just warning you. You're probably not going to get his help. If you say, you know what, I really like you, but I can't stand your son. Don't you feel the same way about your children? You can come up to me and you can degrade me all you want. And I'll probably be able to take it. You start degrading my children. You start degrading my family. We now have issues. We're all like that. Why wouldn't God be like that? How can you say, yes, God, I love you, but I cannot stand any of your children? It doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. If we truly agape love God, then we will agape love His children. Is that hard? Yes, sometimes it's very hard. But if we truly agape love God, then we're going to love all of His children, but phileo love might not. Phileo love will want to be picky and choosy about the children of God that we love. And God doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So we ask the question tonight, do you really love the Lord? Same question that Peter was asked in the beginning, in the context that we read earlier. Same question as yet, do you really love God? And the question for us becomes, do we phileo love Him, or, as He expects, do we agape love Him? And I'll just say that our actions will show us the difference. It will show us whether or not we agape love God or whether or not we phileo love God. Because a lot of the things that we'll do for God, if we agape love Him, are going to be very difficult. And if we phileo love God, a lot of those things that are very difficult, we're going to leave undone. We're saying, I'm not going to do that. I'll do some other things, some things that I enjoy doing, but I'll not do that. And if we truly agape love Him, it will not matter. It might be difficult, but it will not matter. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because He first loved us. We can agape love others because He first agape loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Is it hard? Sometimes it's very hard. But if we truly want to agape love God the way that we should, if we want to answer that question the way, we don't want to answer it. Honestly, we don't want to answer it like Peter answered it. When Jesus says, do you agape love me, Tony? I want to be able to say, Lord, I agape love you. But sometimes my actions show, I phileo love you, Lord. I'm not willing to go that far. We want our actions to show that we agape love God. That nothing is going to stand in our way. That we are going to be that devoted to Him. That we can love Him no matter what. If you're here tonight and you are not a child of God, then we cannot say that we agape love God. We may phileo love Him. When circumstances change, that love may change. But when we agape love Him, nothing changes. We're going to be obedient to Him no matter what. That begins with becoming a child of God through baptism. If you're here tonight and you are a child of God, you've become a child of God by baptism into Jesus Christ, and maybe there's been times in your life where you've said, I phileo love you. I still love you. It's just not as deep as you would like it to be. We've all made those mistakes. But if you're here tonight and you're in one of those times in your life, where you need help, you need prayers, we're here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you. As the song suggests, it's only a step. It's just a step. It's just a little ways up here. I know it sometimes seems like 2 miles when you want to come forward. But we're here to help. We're here to try to shorten that distance. To pray with you, to pray for you, that we can all agape love God the way that we should. If you're here tonight and subject to God's call in any way, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.